Wisdom, let us attend, let us listen to the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto us. The reading is from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Let us attend. At that time, Jesus got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. Then, behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," then he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And he arose and departed to his house. Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, who had given such power to men. So what's new with you? Good job, Joe, to do that all under pressure. That maybe raise the stand up a bit. Twist it counterclockwise and unlock it. And click it. Twist it the other way. There you go. All right, well. There's plenty of drama in the gospel. We don't need drama out here. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
There's good reason embedded in the text of our gospel lessons themselves to believe that the word of Jeremiah the prophet is what's being brought to light in this morning's gospel, and also in the gospel that preceded it last Sunday. In the Greek Septuagint, Jeremiah writes, "The heart is deep beyond all things, and it is the man." Something of this mystery of the heart set before us by the prophet, we can know from our own experience. If a dear loved one who has wronged you, a spouse or a friend, let's say, comes to you in genuine remorse, asking your forgiveness, does not the heart soften? In that heart-to-heart moment, Do we not feel the bitterness that infected our soul mysteriously being washed away? And ourselves, does it not feel as though invisibly, mysteriously, we are descending somewhere deep where we are far beyond the bitterness, far beyond the anger and the enmity that separated us? Suddenly we can feel our heart as though it has awakened from a dark sleep. And it is no longer hard and angry. It has suddenly grown warm and soft. We feel ourselves rushing out to meet our loved one in the forgiveness of love that proceeds from our heart. There in the deep of our heart, far beyond all anger and bitterness, there is a healing of what was torn, a joyous restoration of love and communion. This is the personal drama, that we may see as the substance veiled beneath the drama of this morning's gospel. He crossed over is how our gospel this morning opens. The word could be translated from the Greek as he passed through the beyond. It's made up of those two words. It takes us back to one of the immediate prequels of this morning's gospel, to Matthew 8:18, where we read, "And when he saw the crowds around him, he gave command to depart into the deep, into the beyond." What follows are the adventures of the disciples who follow him, as it says, into the beyond. They go into the deep of the sea. First, they are beset by a great earthquake in the sea, so that their boat is covered by the waves, and the Lord is sleeping. He rises and rebukes the storm and the waves. They obey him, and immediately there's a great calm, which, Galena in the Greek, is Galena. From there, it says, he goes into the beyond. That's where we met the two demoniacs of the Gadarenes last Sunday, in the beyond. And in the beyond, where is he? Where was he last Sunday? He was in the tombs with the demoniacs. And in the beyond, in the tombs, he exorcises the demons. They perish in the sea, in the deep. And the demoniacs are cleansed. According to St. Luke, who has but one demoniac, the healed demoniac is found sitting at the feet of Jesus in his right mind. There it is, there is now a great calm in the deep of his heart, there in the beyond, where before he was in the tombs, but now he is with Christ. And his heart has been transfigured from a tomb into a bridal chamber. Surely it is not lost on us how all of this takes place, as it says in the Greek, in the sea, which is the deep, and in the beyond, the tombs of the Gadarene. Surely we can see the sea and the tombs of the Gadarenes as images of the heart, which is a tomb because of our sins and trespasses, as St. Paul says, and as Jeremiah says, is deep beyond all things. So it should not be hard to see how these gospel events in the life of our Lord have themselves the very structure and the form of his holy Pascha. That is to say, they are images of, or rather they are, their inner substance is his death and burial and his descent into hell, where he tramples down death by his death and gives life to those in the tombs. So when our gospel this morning says, so he got into a boat, crossed over, that is, he passed through the beyond, and he came to his own city, we should be prepared to understand that something spiritual something paschal happening beneath the surface that is much more profound than the Lord's simple return from the Gadarenes on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. His own city to which he is returning is Capernaum, which is in Galilee. And Galilee in the prophets of the Old Testament, and most explicitly perhaps in the Song of Songs, is the land of the Lord's bride. And so Galilee is an image of Israel, or of the human soul. And so the Lord is coming to his own city, that is to say, he is coming to his bride. He's coming to her from the beyond of hell, where she was enslaved in the deep of her heart to death by fear, anger, and bitterness, and imprisoned in the isolation of enmity and loneliness. He's coming into his own city, his own bride, the human soul, in the mystery, in the glorious triumph of his holy resurrection. According to St. Mark, the Lord was in a house this morning when they bring the paralytic to him, there in his own city. That is to say, he was in his temple, because the word for house is the same word for temple in the Bible. That is to say, he was in the temple of his body that is risen from the dead. And his body is the church. And we are his bride. And that's where we are this morning. Mystically, invisibly, really, we are in the Lord's house. And the Lord is with us in his own city. And they brought to him, it says, a paralytic lying on a bed. The paralytic this morning is an image of idolatrous Israel. And should we say of the idolatrous Orthodox Christian? Those who come to the Lord's own city, his church, not as paralytics, but as the self-righteous scribes that were also there in the house. This image of the paralytic takes us to Deuteronomy. Here is Moses' last sermon to Israel, in which the Lord indicts Israel severely for her idolatry. But should we not hear this word of the Lord to Moses as a word against us? Do we not show our idolatry and our love for anger, for lust, for greed, in our self-righteousness? Their vine, says the Lord, is of Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm quoting from Deuteronomy. Sodom and Gomorrah, shall we say that their vine is of sexual perversions and impurities? Their grape is a grape of gall. Their cluster is one of bitterness. Their wine is the rage of serpents and the incurable rage of asps. Giving the desire of our heart to these spirits of idolatry, sexual perversion, anger, lust, greed, bitterness. When we give our hearts, giving the desire of our hearts to these spirits of idolatry, we invite them into our heart. And so we become, spiritually, we become paralytics. We become utterly weakened. Like the demoniacs of the Gadarenes, we become powerless against the idolatrous spirits of anger, lust, and greed that attack us. And we are paralyzed, weakened by anxiety, fear, and despair. This brings us to the beauty of this morning's gospel. For we see that the Lord is faithful even though we are faithless. The Lord himself, it says in this same biblical canticle from Deuteronomy, the Lord himself shall purge the land of his people. And in this morning's gospel, what's set before us is a visible image of the invisible mystery of Pascha that we stand in this morning here in the house of the Lord. We are standing in the beauty and the tenderness, the love and joy of the Lord's holy resurrection that is deep in our heart, far beyond all anger and bitterness, far beyond every hurt, far beyond death and fear. For the Lord himself has gone into the deep of our heart, into the beyond, and he has effected a great calm by destroying our death by his death. He has made our heart that was a tomb into a bridal chamber, brighter than any royal chamber. For he has washed away all anger and bitterness and their causes, and he has filled the house of our soul with himself. And his house is a house of forgiveness, of healing, love, joy, and eternal life. Dear faithful, standing in the church this morning in a visible way, we stand at the same time in an invisible way in the deep of our heart. We stand either as self-righteous scribes, or if we would but lay aside every excuse and come down from our high horse, we could come heart to heart before the Lord as a paralytic whose heart cries out for forgiveness. In this morning's gospel, we hear the Lord's word that we would hear if we would but come down and lie before him on our bed as we truly are, paralytics. And this is the word that we would hear. My child, your sins are forgiven you. The joy of the Lord's forgiveness takes our heart into the deep, far beyond all bitterness and anger. It heals us and makes us truly human, for it makes us like God. It brings us into the beyond, where the Lord has trampled down death by death and given life to us who are in the tombs. And so it makes us, in the deep of our heart, strong in the love and the joy of Christ. May I point out what seems to me to be the true work of the church that is given to us in this morning's gospel. Note that the paralytic was forgiven and healed through the faith of those who carried him into the Lord's presence. And the love born in our hearts from the Lord's forgiveness of us, then, let us carry our loved ones. And if we can, let us carry even our enemies. Let's carry them in our hearts into the presence of the all-merciful Savior. And in the love of our faith, let us have every hope that our loved ones, even our enemies, also will hear the Lord's all-healing and life-giving word given to them through our faith. My child, your sins are forgiven. And so shall all of us always be with the Lord. Amen. Most Holy Spirit, save us. Glory to Jesus Christ. Amen.